The spring used to classify the U.S. population in an unprecedented and very radical way was World War I. Prior to the war, eugenicists evaluated racial and national groups by comparing numbers of one group or another on, quote, lists of distinction. But they had no way of penetrating the secret inner spaces of consciousness. On the verge of the World War, the new social discipline of psychology, struggling to attain a status of hard science, claimed to be able to change all that. It boasted of a power to go deep into the hidden regions of the brain. The new techno-miracle of the day was the invention of a mysterious intelligence test, an IQ score which allegedly could place secrets of intellectual power at the disposal of managerial science. The just-assembled American Army of World War I was soon subject to mass intelligence measurement under the direction of Robert M. Yerkes, president of the American Psychological Association, an organization recently invented by the Wundtian protege G. Stanley Hall. Results published after the war showed remarkable correlation with similar tests on American school children. While Yerkes was reporting these findings to the National Academy of Sciences, famous psychologist Dr. William McDougall was summarizing the civilian studies for the general public in his book, Is America Safe for Democracy? Latins and Slavs in fair mental competition scored significantly lower than native whites, he said. How then could they be given a vote equal to white men? McDougall claimed that hard data unmistakably revealed that a racial interpretation of history was the correct one. In his book, A Study of American Intelligence, psychologist Carl Brigham concluded in 1923 that, quote, the intellectual superiority of our Nordic group over Alpine, Mediterranean, and Negro groups has been demonstrated, close quote. After 1922, racism was a truth of science. Word spread quickly into every corner of Europe, but particularly in defeated Germany, ancient Teutonic barrier against Slavic incursion. These new truths were enthusiastically discussed. General agreement confirmed Nordic superiority. The popular writer Kenneth Roberts took up the cry. One of America's foremost novelists, he lectured American book dealers from the pages of the specialist journal Bookman that, quote, the Alpine school of fiction, close quote, spread the poison of democracy through the whole culture. School texts were appropriately adjusted. Roberts identified himself, as you may have already guessed, as 100% Nordic. Now intelligence tests were huckstered in school district after school district. Fortunes accrued to well-placed pedagogical leaders and their political allies. Every child would now be given a magical number, ranking it scientifically in the great race of life. School grades might vary according to the whim of teachers, but IQ scores were unvarying, an emotionless badge of biological honor or shame, marking innate, almost unchanging ability. Millions of tests administered annually to primary and secondary school students would prove the value rank of the American peoples. Mental ages were dutifully entered on permanent record cards with as much assurance as Horace Mann, Barnes Sears, William Torrey Harris, John Dewey, and G. Stanley Hall had accepted skull maps drawn by their favorite phrenologists. Every day, science seemed to make it clearer and clearer that forcing everyone to fit the Anglo-Saxon mold was indeed doing humanity a mighty favor. If children couldn't be biologically Anglo-Nordic, they could be so acculturated, at least partly that way, through regular drill. After all, hadn't psychology proven how malleable human nature was? Henry Fairfield Osborne stepped forward from his duties at the American Museum of Natural History to announce portentously that Christopher Columbus, always a choking point as a Latin for America's cultural leadership, was actually Nordic.